When the world is calling, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, including Montreal, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, travel from Columbus is closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Summer is a perfect time for excitement, so go ahead and switch things up with a new recipe from HelloFresh. With pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions, it's never been easier to try something new. Get 12 free meals, including free shipping, right now with code INVEST12. Go to HelloFresh.com/INVEST12. Good morning, everyone. On today's show, something big is happening in the economy. Why are so many billionaires sitting on a pile of cash right now? Oh, and Bitcoin. Interesting. We're going to dive into the numbers and what some of the big boys are doing so you can protect yourself. And this morning, Bernie Sanders says he's not voting for a stimulus package unless it includes one big thing. So what is that big thing? We'll tell you in a moment. And there's the great wallet debate this morning. It's taking the internet by storm. Do men still use a wallet? The internet is torn over this debate. Morning Invest starts right now. And good morning, everyone. Oop, why is that going there? I forgot to save that. That's why. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the show on this Tuesday. I hate when I set in overlays and switches and then I don't hit save, and then that's the problem. David's in the control booth today.
Good morning.
The show. Good to see you, my friend. We are live every morning right here at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, bringing you the news that actually matters to your life. And we've got a lot of news that matters to your life on the show today. By the way, we also have a daily newsletter that we publish every day. If you want to be more informed and learn something new, you should join our daily newsletter, which is sent by email right to your inbox first thing in the morning between 6 and 7 a.m. Eastern Time. It's totally free. Simply go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. It supports our show, keeps us doing what we're doing. Plus, you get an awesome newsletter first thing in the morning. And I got a couple of really nice emails from our viewers over the past 24 hours after you received the newsletter. I got one really nice one this morning that said, thank you so much for putting so much work into this newsletter. It makes my morning. So thank you so much. And if you're new to the show, subscribe. We do this show every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. I've got my big vat of iced coffee this morning. What are you drinking today? Are you still going to the Starbucks and spending $5 a day?
Nope. I am sugar free right now, so I have not been doing that at all. I did go yesterday and get a sugar free, but it is nowhere near the same as with sugar, so I decided I'm not doing that again. So no, I am not drinking anything but water.
500 calories first thing in the morning in a cup. your caramel drizzle, whatever it is. What is it? It's a half black mocha. What is it?
It's a black and white mocha with one pump of white mocha and one pump of regular mocha.
Does sound good.
It is delicious.
We'll give you that.
Just don't get four pumps of each because it's too sweet.
That's too much. It's too much. We're going to check the markets in a moment. But today's market update is brought to you by a really awesome crypto play. I was telling David about it in the pre-show here before we got started. It's called Xenon Pay. Now, the main goal for Xenon Pay in the future is to function as a payment solution. And they're already deployed on the Binance Smart Chain, which makes their transactions confirm very quickly. In fact, their transaction speeds are much faster than Ethereum, Bitcoin, and other coin tokens. Other coins and tokens. Xenon Pay will develop their app shortly, and there's a payment card coming in a later phase of the project. There's lower supply than most, with the first burn happening on the 18th of June. So it's another great feature. You can get in early before everyone else jumps into this. Another great feature is that you earn passive income because you're earning tokens off of other people's transaction fees. You get 10% off of every transaction fee. Xenon Pay is a perfect example of double passive earning income. So awesome stuff from Xenon Pay. A lot of really interesting stuff coming in over the summer, man. There's a lot happening. We're going to get to that. let's talk about what's going on in the market. So this morning, because NASDAQ, this U.S. stock futures flat ahead of this big Fed meeting. The NASDAQ started the week with a gain, pushed the tech heavy index above its late April record close. And the S&P also had a record yesterday, but the Dow is down, ended its 2-day winning streak. 30-day stock average was about 1.5 points away from its most recent record close in early May. So something a little bit down. Let's check Bitcoin this morning. And I got an interesting story about Bitcoin. So Bitcoin hovering around 40,000. It's been hanging here. Dropped below 40,000 a few moments ago. Hit that 39 range, but still sitting at about 40,418. And I want to talk to you about what's going on with Bitcoin. David and I were talking about this in the pre-show a little bit, but something interesting is happening here. Now, what's going to happen over the next few days, folks, okay, is if you've got any money in Bitcoin right now, in the next 2 to 3 days, there's enough evidence showing itself now among the crypto sphere. We're all seeing it. It's all showing up. And the people that will get screwed are you, the little guy, okay? So I want to tell you about this right now so you don't do something stupid. Now, here, I'm going to show you this chart. So here's Bitcoin shorts chart. This is a shorts chart. What that means is that these whales, okay, they're putting their money on the fact that Bitcoin is going to drop in price. Why would they do that? Why would they suddenly be doing that? This is what billionaires are doing right now, okay? They are shorting. Look at this. Huge surge in short positions on Bitcoin right now. Look at this. This is enormous. What this means is in the next few days, they're hoping to make a lot of money off of the idea that Bitcoin drops below 40,000 and drops down maybe a significant amount of money. The further they go, the more money they make.
Now, isn't this
there's evidence to suggest...
Isn't this what they did with the GameStop, you know, and AMC? Weren't they trying to short stock those?
Well, they were trying to short, exactly. And so what happens is a lot of the retail investors who are hanging out on Reddit forums and so forth saw these short positions. And, you know, they basically screwed them. They screwed them over by buying into GameStop and other things. So I'm not encouraging anyone to go out and invest or do anything with their money. I'm not a financial advisor. What I'm trying to tell you to do, though, is be aware of what they are trying to do right now, which is they are hoping in the next few days there's going to be information coming out. There's going to be FUD coming out. There's going to be all sorts of disinformation coming out. It's going to scare you into selling your Bitcoin. And then who's going to buy it? These guys. They're shorting it, hoping it's going to go down, and they're going to jump in and buy your Bitcoin. That's exactly what's going to happen.
How come everybody flips out when Elon Musk sends out a tweet and manipulates the market, yet these guys are doing it and nobody's saying a word? They're doing it and they're going to make a bunch of money. Yet usually when Elon does it, it benefits regular people. This only benefits one group of people.
Yeah, the billionaires, the fat cats, the whales. They're doing it in quiet, in secret. This is what they do all the time. But I wanted to call this to your attention because, again, that's what this show is about. It's financial education. I want you to understand what's going to happen. And here's what I don't want you to do over the next few days is to panic. So when you see Bitcoin plummeting in price again, it could drop down to 37,000, 35,000, 30,000. What's about to happen to Bitcoin, though, is it's going to explode in value. The charts don't lie. The charts, the data, folks, that's all I'm talking about here is the charts. The data shows that this is what's going to happen, okay? All you need to do is look at patterns. So Bitcoin is here right now. This is Bitcoin today, 40,000, okay? If this plummets down, we see in the next few days some BS stories coming out. Something gets published on CNN or some other story about Bitcoin being clamped down for some reason. Here's what's going to happen. Bitcoin's going to plummet in price, right? Those guys will make a lot of money, right? These guys who are shorting it are going to make a ton of money. And then you're going to get screwed because you're going to sell your Bitcoin. And then what's going to happen? It's going to skyrocket. All the data is suggesting we are in for a huge explosion in Bitcoin pricing, okay? These guys are trying to shake you out and put out disinformation, scare you, manipulate the market. And that's the thing. Bitcoin... cryptocurrency, it's young, it's an infant stage, so any little bit of news FUD can drive a market.
But how?
So don't be stupid. Don't sell your Bitcoin when these guys start spreading. You're going to hear it. I'm telling you, you're going to hear it in the next few days.
You know what's ridiculous? What's ridiculous is They can legally manipulate the market. Nobody looks into it. FTC, it's all cool. But then when the GameStop people come in that are regular people, they start buying stocks and they make a little bit of money, then there's going to be investigations and then they're manipulating the market. It's wrong. Like, why is there a double standard?
That's exactly what it is. It is a double standard. I mean, this is what these guys do all the time. And, you know, we have this story today. It's one of our stories I wanted to cover here on the show. Might as well get to it right now. Because the SEC announced yesterday, 22 hours ago, they released their 2021 regulatory agenda. And it says, we are not going to regulate Bitcoin. Has no plans to regulate Bitcoin in 2021. Well, here's the story, folks. They can't regulate Bitcoin. Bitcoin is property. It's a commodity. It is not a security. So the SEC has no regulation that they could even foist upon Bitcoin. Though, unless it's involved like as an ETF, an exchange-traded fund. So what that means is that we're not going to see any sort of ETFs this year and exchange-traded funds this year. That's not good for Bitcoin. That's not good for cryptocurrency. So maybe there's no ETF coming this year. Okay, that's one piece of it. But if you dive into this story, the SEC has released its 2021 regulatory agenda and has left Bitcoin and cryptocurrency out. Instead, it's going to focus on short selling, a topic that has grown into a heated debate in the wake of the meme stock craze with GameStop and AMC Theaters. Oh, so what are they going to be doing? They want to make sure. They say this is quite volatile. One might say highly volatile asset class. And investing in public would benefit greatly from more investor protection in the crypto exchanges. Right? But what he's talking about is we're going to be focusing on short selling. We want to make sure that we're protecting those big hedge funds at the big guys, the whales that got burned by the GameStop and the AMC apes and everything else on Reddit. So that's what the SEC is going to do. They're going to investigate and try to protect the big guys, the Wall Street fat cats, from the little guy, the guys that managed to see all the data was there. Like, it was all publicly available that these big hedge funds had all of this money sitting there in short positions on GameStop and other things. And what did they do? The Redditors said, you know what? Screw you. We think there's value there. We're buying it. And then it just squeezed them out, man. Billions of dollars they bled as a result of it. Well, the same thing is not going to happen with Bitcoin.
I bet those freeloaders that did that to the fat cats ride bikes to work and drive electric cars.
Exactly. So I just think this is interesting right now. I mean, once again, billionaires are being protected. The SEC doesn't want these billionaires to lose money like they lost before when people invested in GameStop. You know, like Robinhood stopped allowing them to sell or buy any more GameStop to protect whom? You know, but this is how it goes, guys. So I wanted you to be aware of what's happening this weekend or over the next few days. Really, it's going to probably be the weekend, like the 21st, 22nd, when you're going to start to see some news stories come out. I think someone said it really well about how this stuff plays. You know, a lot of times you can just buy news articles. Like, you can get a news article printed like on USA Today, or like you pay a certain amount of money and basically you can get an article just published there. Like, a lot of these like little crypto websites, you pay them to be featured. That's how it works. And so these guys can offer like a writer $10,000, $15,000 to publish a story that's total garbage. And then CNBC will do whole stories about it. You know, CNBC will be like, we see this story out of China. You know, China's banning crypto, blah, 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 blah. And guess what? The price of Bitcoin plummets.
It's just legal manipulation.
Tons of money.
Legal manipulation. Yeah. It's like, oh, we can manipulate it and push it wherever we want. But if any of you little guys come in and push it, well, we're going to do criminal investigations and we're going to put a stop to it because this is a game that you are not invited to play.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And meanwhile, like, if this price plummets, fine. And it's going to happen, by the way. It's about to happen. I'm going to buy in. You know, if Bitcoin drops, it comes down in this range, like this $35,000, $37,000 range before it explodes.
Can you explain what FUD means? We got several people asking about that.
fear, uncertainty, and doubt. When somebody sends out FUD, it creates fear, uncertainty, or doubt. And it happens in fake news. That's what it is. That's all it is. So people are sharing FUD, and that's what drives stuff, fear, right? And so when people start saying like, oh my God, the Fed is going to ban Bitcoin. No, they're not. You know, like, this is a fake story. It's FUD. So if you ever see FUD, just know that that's FUD. It's garbage. It's not true.
They need to make one big news network and call it the FUD network and put MSNBC, Fox, CNN, all those into one network called FUD, the FUD network.
The FUD network, yeah. Like the FUD networks, you know? Literally, they'll. I guarantee you, I mark my words right here, okay, that when this story happens in the next few days, when this FUD comes out about Bitcoin in the next few days, they will run with it, okay? They will run with it. All of the networks will run with it. They'll do this story, and the price will plummet, and these whales will make their money. That's how it works. That's how it works. And, you know, they'll print it on NBC.com. They'll print it in other places, and that's how it's going to unfold.
Octavio has a question here up for you.
So does that mean we should be sitting on cash and not buying any coins for the next few days until these stories come out and we can buy the dip? Well, look, I'm not telling you what to do with your money. I'm not a financial advisor. But I will say that I am going to be laddering into these investments. I'm already buying some coins today. I'm already laddering into some things because how cheap they are. Like, I just bought into Cardano again. I leveled into ADA Cardano. I bought into Rune, R-U-N-E. I already have Uni, N-U-N-I. Again, Dot is a fabulous play right now. They're all so cheap. I mean, these are like discounted coins right now. And so those are ones that I'm going to hold for 6 months to a year because they're going to go up like you wouldn't believe. And I'm going to hold on to them. They're $1 right now for Cardano. That thing is going to explode when their smart contracts launch in August. So if you have some extra money right now and you're thinking about getting into the market, these are discounted altcoins right now. And by the way, Bitcoin is going to drop in price in the next few days or shortly. I'm telling you, it's going to come down. So if you want to get into Bitcoin before it explodes, wait for the dip. That's what I'm doing. Okay. So yeah, they're going to, exactly, Erica says, they're going to swoop in and the whales are going to scoop it up dirt cheap. So just be prepared for that. Just be ready and, have your cash. And that's why these whales are sitting in cash right now. So our top story this morning.
Real quick, because this is kind of related. Amy Perkins, super chat. I bought into Bitcoin too high originally, so I held through all the chaos of the last few weeks. I'm ready for it to head to the moon. Will Ethereum do the same?
I think Ethereum is also incredibly underpriced. If it drops down, if Ethereum hits that 2400 range, that's a good buying opportunity, in my opinion. I think it's a little too costly right now. Wait for the dip. Again, Ethereum will follow what Bitcoin does in the next few days, okay? It's going to come down. So just wait. Wait before you pounce on some of this stuff. But I'm talking about Ethereum and Bitcoin. I think some of these other coins are already in buying zones, like Cardano is sitting right there, in my opinion. I think I bought Rune last night, R-U-N-E. That's a great buy. Polkadex, also PDEX. So there's a lot of these big projects that are about to have their mainnet launches in the next few weeks. So just be prepared, folks, that these things are going to surge in value. So that's my take on that. Pages here. Sorry, everyone. There's all my pages. There we go. Okay. What's that story? Okay. All right. Our top story this morning, something big is happening. It's all kind of tied together here in the economy, but something big is happening in the economy. And you don't need a college degree to see that something big is happening right now. Everyone watching this show right now has a story about the cost of things and how prices are going up and up and up. And we know that there are troubling signals right now that billionaires are paying attention to. And I want you to know about them because this is what happens. Is that they make these big moves, you don't know about it, and then you get screwed. But they know about it. They've been planning it and having talks about it for weeks. So there are a couple of things we need to talk about. Number one is inflation. and what billionaires are doing with their money right now. See, right now, billionaires are pulling their money out of Wall Street, out of, I would say, less, you know, less value-based companies, pulling their money out as much as they can. Warren Buffett is just one example who's sitting on a mountain of cash. Another, this morning we learned, is J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon. He's now stockpiling cash. He is sitting on about $500 billion in cash. Why? Inflation. He says, we have lots of cash and the capability, and we're going to be very patient, he says. Because I think, he says, you have a very good chance that inflation will be more than just transitory, short term. He says, if you look at our balance sheet, we have $500 billion in cash. We've actually been effectively stockpiling more and more cash, waiting for opportunities to invest at these higher rates. He said, I do expect to see higher inflation rates, more inflation, and we're prepared for that. Higher interest rates. It's all coming. And then yesterday, legendary investor Paul Tudor Jones, who, by the way, was one of his last big predictions, was predicting accurately the stock market crash. He said COVID is going to cause the stock market to collapse. He was right. People didn't pay attention to him. CNBC and others said he was, that's just FUD. He was right. He's been right billions of times. That's how much he's made. He's investing right now. Paul Tudor Jones, he's investing in Bitcoin because it makes sense as a store of value, as our government doesn't know what it's doing right now. Here's Paul Tudor Jones, legendary investor, on what he sees with inflation right now.
So do you believe that the inflation we're seeing, if it is inflation at all, is transitory? Do you believe that their credibility is at risk because their model is wrong?
Well, first of all, it's somewhat disingenuous to say that inflation is transitory, for them to say inflation is transitory, because if we look at the past episodes where inflation has been transitory, it was with reaction function to a Federal Reserve Board with a completely different mandate, right? They had a dual mandate. This Fed is focused primarily on maximizing employment. So how can you use historical antecedents to sit there and predict the future when you've got a different reaction function now than the Feds of the past have had? A great example of that would be, take 2013, when they first began to talk about taper, inflation was 1.5%, CPI was 1.5% versus 4.9 now. And at that time, you had 6.3 million people unemployed, more than there were job offers. So today, we have the same number of people unemployed, 9.3 million people, as we have job offers. They're exactly equal. So if we go back to 2013 and we look at both inflation, which is much greater today than it was then, and we look at the number of unemployed relative to the number of opportunities to be employed, you had a situation that's completely different than now. And yet that Fed in 2013 was concerned enough about inflation to begin to taper, which they ultimately did, obviously, the beginning of 2014. So when you say today that inflation is going to be transitory and you compare the taper to 2013, they're miles apart.
Now, for those of you who are watching who are wondering, like, what is he talking about? What does tapering mean? What does all this mean? Tapering means that they're basically going to stop buying up all of this crap from Wall Street. They're going to stop buying up all of these junk bonds. They're going to slowly start pulling back the amount of crap that they're putting on their balance sheets. You know, upwards of $140 billion a month they are buying and protecting Wall Street firms right now, the Fed is. They're going to maybe pull it back to $80 billion a month. And how much are you getting in the form of stimulus, right? They're taking your unemployment benefits away. So they're going to go from $140 billion down to like $80. They're going to start talking about tapering the amount of money they're going to be funneling into Wall Street. Tapering. So you're going to hear about taper tantrums, and is Wall Street going to have a taper tantrum over the next few weeks, you know, when they start to actually talk about this and inflation? But right now, I mean, these fears are real. they're an all-time high. And Paul Tudor Jones says, like, you can't believe that this is going to be temporary. The price of everything. Like, do you guys at home, like, right now, I mean, do you guys at home right now see the price of just about everything going up? I'm curious what you see in prices. But I mean, like, everything from meat prices to gas prices to cheese. Lumber prices finally started coming down, if you can believe that. Lumber prices finally. Sausage. What else? Milk, eggs, everything. And everyone who's talking about it, I mean, everyone's talking about it. Everyone has an anecdote right now about, let me know in the chat, like, what are you guys seeing? Throw some up here on the screen. Like, what are you paying more for right now? Like, let me know in the chat. Are you guys paying more for gas? We have oil prices hitting a 2-year high right now. We're seeing meat prices, meat going up and everything in between. Food prices went up here in Los Angeles, Carolyn says. David's Starbucks prices are up. Robin Mitchell, in the past month, my grocery bill went from 70. Everything is going up, but wages, exactly. Isn't that the way it usually goes? First they give us stimulus, then we get inflation, Teresa says. Gas is terrible, Michelle Brown. Yeah, it's all going up. Milk, eggs, bread prices have doubled in my area. Gas has also gone up, Karen says. Wooden pellets went from $6 each to $40. Pallets or pellets? Wood pellets for a wood stove? Or
wood pallets that you sit stuff on.
Oh, okay. Everything, can't buy the same amount of anything. Gas, food, meat, everything going up, Bonnie says. Yeah. And this is, you know, no wonder inflation fears. Milk went up 150% in Phoenix? Holy smoke. Man, time to not stop drinking milk, right? Gas is nearing $4. Like, if that doesn't get you off your milk habit, right? Like, my wife, she puts, she's the only one that drinks milk in her house. She puts milk in her coffee. But even our kids don't drink milk anymore, you know?
The only thing I put milk in is I cannot, like, I've tried and tried and tried to do almond milk with cereal, and I can't. I have to have regular milk and cereal.
Have you tried that new oat milk? There's that new oat milk that's taken. It went public. Their company went Oatly, I think. It went public last week or 2 weeks ago, and everyone's going buying them up. Like, my wife went to the grocery store, and there's people literally grabbing, like, gallons of this Oatly, which is supposed to be, I don't know, really sustainable. I don't know.
Maybe I've not tried that one. I have to try it.
Yeah, everyone's kind of going crazy about it. So we've got a lot more news to get to. I'm going to get to stimulus news this morning. We got some updates on what's happening on the stimulus front. We'll get there in a second, but I want to tell you first about our friends at Grammarly. You know, I use Grammarly all the time. You use Grammarly pretty much every morning, don't you?
Every day. Just the only reason you'll see a comma in anything I write.
Exactly. So Grammarly works really, really well by putting basically, making better connections. I mean, it's not just about what you say, it's about how you say it. And so it teaches you how to write more clearly, more confidently by getting real-time feedback and guidance on tone, word choice, clarity, with Grammarly Premium. And it's you can use it as a browser extension. So I use it in my Safari browser. So as I'm typing anything, it'll figure out that that comma shouldn't be there. Like, this sentence is not clear at all. Maybe you should write it a little bit more clearly. Here's an option, right? It shows you how to do that, not use redundant words. It gives you vocabulary suggestions, does such a great job. You can also, has an overall writing score, so you can get better. And now I've improved. Like, I know I don't put that comma there anymore. I don't start my sentence in passive voice anymore. You know, there's things you just learn to get better at because it keeps correcting you. It's like a teacher telling you, hey, stop doing that. Really, really great. And it's built into Gmail. I mean, you can use it inside of Chrome. So when you're typing your Gmail out, it's right there.
There's
it's
even really, a Grammarly really keyboard great. For your phone.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You can use it right on your, like, for instance, right here on the top of my screen over on Safari. Look at this. Right here is my Grammarly tab right here. See? And I can turn it on, can check the different things, show definitions and synonyms if I want. And I can start a new document right here. I can just launch Grammarly right here. And we use it in our daily newsletter every day to make sure we're not screwing something up. Just run it through Grammarly.
Well, and I'll say this.
Just
if you're going to be the green bubble guy in an iMessage chat, as long as you have good punctuation and use Grammarly, you won't be seen as bad.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good point on that. And look, I just screwed this up, right? I can just, and I see, I just, it comes right over here. And it fixes it for me. Boom. So nice. So nice. So Grammarly is a go-to. I use it every day. Now you can do more than just spell check. Say what you really mean with Grammarly Premium. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/invest. That's 20% off at grammarly.com/invest. Absolutely love Grammarly. Thank you so much for your support. All right, let's talk about the stimulus now. President Biden might want to stay in Europe for the rest of the summer right now because he's over there. He's got to have that meeting with Putin, you know, in Geneva. And I mean, look, the bottom line is, I don't know how he's going to work with Congress in getting anything across the goal line on a stimulus, on the two big stimulus bills that he's working on. But of course, there's one big sticking point right now. I think probably bigger than just about any other one right now. Bernie Sanders is against the bipartisan plan, which illustrates just how difficult it's going to be to get anything through. Every Democrat who says no means another Republican has to say yes right now. And the reason that Bernie Sanders is saying no to the bipartisan plan and to any plan that comes out of those committees where you have Joe Manchin and, you know, and Mitt Romney working together is he says, I must have environmental provisions in this bill. It must include environmental infrastructure or I'm out. I am not going to vote for it. And Republicans don't want it. Republicans don't want clean energy initiatives. They don't want electric vehicles charging stations. They don't want solar infrastructure. They don't want geothermal infrastructure. They want oil and gas. Republicans want Chevron and Exxon and their big gas and oil buddies to be taken care of and their big fracking buddies. Republicans have pushed against the inclusion of the climate provisions.
What is
and
in
now
it for
the left is...
What is proposed in this for the people? Because what I want to know is why is it always somebody decides to die on a hill of something that doesn't like directly benefit us right now and not push that to something different? Like worry about that stuff different. If there's stuff in there for the people, then just get it through. Like take all the crap
well,
out
I mean,
of it.
Yeah, but what is for the, you know, that's the thing. It's like, what is for the people if you don't include schools? But okay, we got bridges and roads. That makes Republicans happy. And then Joe Manchin's happy because he gets to put his name on a bridge in West Virginia, right? You know, Mitch McConnell, I guess, could be happy because he gets stuff in Kentucky that he gets to put his name on. You know, the Mitch McConnell Memorial Parkway or whatever it's going to be. That's not for people. I mean, it is for people because, you know, you don't want to drive on bridges that are collapsing. So they could argue, hey, this is for the people.
It's just like
but
these people
are saying,
so,
wait a second, what about the schools? What about
so
schools?
Focused
how is
on
that
their
not
own
part
legacy.
Of infrastructure?
Yeah, they're focused on their legacy more than they are the people. Like they don't give a crap about us. And it's like even like something like that, like, okay, let's say, you know, a lot of that is bad what's in there. But why is Bernie going to die on the environmental hill? I understand that it's a huge issue. It really is. But like he should be like pulling things out of it that are more, you know, important than that. Just to get it passed.
Yeah, but what's more?
No, I
well,
understand.
Perhaps, I guess.
I understand that the environment is very, very, very important.
Perhaps. And I would say maybe it's maybe I'll die on this hill. I think maybe it's more important than just about anything else in there right now. I mean, it might even be to me more like, can we figure out like how not to kill our future? Like how to actually make sure that our country is here in a few years when we actually, you know, look at California. I mean, it's on fire. Look at Arizona today, 122 degrees today in Arizona. I mean, you know, we're seeing temperatures. All you need to do is talk to the people that actually work the land and the fish, like fisheries and, you know, work, you know, go out and fish for a living. And you see like, oh yeah, it's totally changed. Like what these waters that we were used to fish this type of fish 10 years ago, gone. They're gone. And they're not here anymore because the water's too warm. I mean, it's just, I'm sure you up in Washington State, you probably have a ton of that. I'm sure the like fishermen that live and work there probably know that more than anything. So, you know, frankly, I just think, hey, that's a good hill for him to die on. Bernie, like, because no one's done, everyone's paid lip service to it. And here's an opportunity with a Democratic president, a Democratic Senate, and a Democratic House to actually finally put your money where your mouth is all these years.
Right, but they can put their money. Their money where their mouth is without having to like it. That's the thing that's frustrating is there's so many things tied to these bills because they know that the people are going to push to get it passed because there's some relief in it for people. So it's like they stuff all this stuff in there. I agree that it is a huge issue, but it's like that doesn't benefit the people that are hurting right now. Like I agree that it does, you know, need to be in something and is very important, but you know, it's that people still need immediate of this stuff help in this, right now.
But the thing is in these, and that's not even really be a part of these bills. I mean, we're talking about infrastructure stimulus now. Like we're not even talking about like helping people. I mean, we already have like the child tax credit, which will start in July. That's a huge boon. Like a lot of that already got passed in that last $1.9 trillion stimulus that passed a few months ago. So like this is not going to really include, there's not going to be any like direct stimulus checks. I mean, those days are gone. I mean, if you're hoping for like stimulus checks, forget it. Like that's not coming. Like that ship has sailed, especially now when you see all these businesses and they're pushing to reopen and unemployment benefits are being removed now as a result of it as well, because, you know, God knows we can't have people getting unemployment benefits that could actually benefit from it right now. I mean, all of that's being removed. So forget stimulus, forget any of that stuff right now. And you have people like other environmentalists like Ed Markey of Massachusetts, Jeff Merkley of Oregon. They're holding a news conference today about 2 hours from now. About 11 a.m. Eastern time. They're going to say that any infrastructure package must include environmental provisions or we're not doing anything with it. So they're going to draw a line in the sand on that. How will this actually shake out? It's anyone's guess at this point. This is how it could come down to just a few key issues here. And I thought this was an interesting take on this.
Point. What do you think is actually going to happen?
Well, listen, I think this is a pretty sensitive moment for the negotiations. If we go forward with a bipartisan process and you're a bond investor, that's a pretty benign outcome in the sense that you're probably going to get a smaller package that really isn't deficit finance. What we think is going to happen, though, it's probably that these bipartisan talks will eventually break down, give way to a Democrats only process through the budget reconciliation process. And there's probably going to need to be substantial deficit expansion to go along and accommodate that process because you've got Democratic moderates on the one side in the Senate who want a more limited touch on taxes. But all Democrats seem to agree on multiple trillions of dollars worth of spending. Deficits probably have to bridge the gap on that. And we think they probably will because the political incentive is there to do that.
So, but you're going to have to, like, are you going to work with Republicans or are you going to do it by yourself? And if you do it by yourself, then tax increases. I mean, you literally had Paul Tudor Jones, billionaire, yesterday saying, yes, he thinks that wealthy people aren't paying enough in taxes. Yeah, we need to increase. And Republicans are saying, we don't want any tax increases for the wealthy. No tax increases. Nope, not going to happen. Not even talking about, I mean, we're talking about businesses going back to a level that's still, I mean, think back in the 1940s and 50s when businesses were paying upwards of 70%. And even go back further than that, they were paying 98% at one point. During World War II, by the way, FDR was able to call on DuPont and Ford and other companies. They had 98% tax rate. And those companies surged with that kind of a tax rate. I'm not saying we want a 98% tax rate. All I'm saying is we're at 23. I mean, we're hardly even anywhere now, anywhere close to that. Not even going back to Obama level years to be able to foot the bill on this thing. But Republicans don't want that.
Well, and
there's a new reporting.
The point I was trying to make was like, I don't understand why, you know, if Bernie's going to do something like that, he doesn't propose like Medicare for All or propose the UBI or something like that into this bill rather than, you know, focusing on something that other people are proposing. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Like there's right. other things he could propose right now that could help people that need it right now. You know, I understand that issue, but like, why doesn't he propose something like that?
Yeah. I mean, hey, well, he hasn't really been, and I get it, but he has definitely been like the environmental guy. Right. And Ed Markey has as well. The whole reason Ed Markey got elected is because he, you know, signed his name to the Green New Deal, right? But then you have other people like Parmaya Jayapal and others who have said, we are not, like, we want a universal basic income, a $2,000 a month. Like, so I think there are other people that could put that into the bill, into legislation in the House and the Senate. Hey, maybe Josh Hawley, remember him, who was taking the populist tact of wanting $2,000 checks for people. Remember that whole fake episode, before he was championing the insurrection at the Capitol. Anyway.
Well, and Stephen Vanderford is asking, David, do you think it would pass with one of those in it? No, but it's not going to pass with the environment stuff in it either. Like, there's a bunch of stuff in here it's not going to pass with. So it's like, if you don't ask and get people on the record for voting no to things, like, that sometimes is just as powerful, because then you can see who's actually for the things that we actually want. If you look at the population, it's like upwards of 70-80% people want universal health care, but they don't listen to that. So you can propose something, see who votes against it, and then you're like, okay, those people are out because they don't want what we want. Otherwise, they can just do it behind closed doors and pass all this stuff that doesn't really matter right now.
Yeah. And as Mark Sparks says, we are not out of this mess yet. Vote most of these Republicans out of office. I mean, heck, get these moderate Democrats out of there too. We need a wholesale removal of these people from the Capitol. I mean, these guys need to be removed all across the board. You heard Susan Collins yesterday. I mean, these people who are so out of touch. And
what was that
movie? Literally
This town needs an enema.
Oh yeah, Batman.
Yeah.
When Joker... This town needs an enema.
That's right. Batman.
Lawrence. We listen to that Prince soundtrack all the time. Hey, we have 6,000 people watching right now. Can we smash that like button? Let's get 6,000 likes today. How about that? And how many new members do we have? You know, thank you for becoming. We have 7 new channel members. Thank you for supporting independent journalism. We cover the stories that you're not going to see covered in the mainstream media, that you're not going to see covered on these networks. We'll tell you the truth, because these guys are billionaires that run these companies, and they only care about billionaires, and we don't. We care about you. So, and other people that don't give a rat's behind about billionaires. Mitch McConnell, we know, doesn't care about you. He cares about billionaires. Republicans, according to reporting from Marianne Levine and Burgess Everett over at Politico, report that Republicans are mulling supporting the bipartisan infrastructure plan, and then they're going to plan to derail Biden's agenda after that. Literally, this is what they're going to do. We're going to go along with the infrastructure bill, and then we will kill the rest of his agenda. Senate Republicans are mulling support for the massive amount of new spending on infrastructure, in part because they think it'll help kill President Joe Biden's liberal agenda. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell has yet to tip his hand on whether he supports the bipartisan negotiations on Biden's plans for roads and bridges that are being led by Kristen Sinema and Rob Portman. But a growing number of Senate Republicans are betting that if a deal is reached on that sort of physical infrastructure, Democrats won't have the votes needed to pass the rest of Biden's soft infrastructure priorities, such as child care and clean energy. So they're basically saying, hey, we'll go along with you on the bridges and roads pieces, but then we will absolutely plan to torpedo anything about childcare. Here's your Republicans. Clean energy and childcare. Can't do it. Can't do it if I'm a Republican. But I you know, if it's roads and bridges where I can get contracts out to billionaire corporations for them to build these bridges and roads and it lines their pockets, boom, I'm all over it.
Well, and let's not forget, you know,
donate to my campaign.
Yeah, if you want to send Bezos to space, we can find $10 billion for that.
Yeah. Yeah. We're gonna give you $10 billion in a bailout so we can send Blue Origin to space. We can do that. Bernie Sanders. Income and wealth inequality is soaring. Wages for workers have been stagnant for almost 50 years, and some billionaires pay nothing in federal income taxes. Hey, maybe it's time for the government to start representing the middle class and not just the 1%. Keep dreaming, Bernie. That would be nice, right? It's not going to happen, but it would be nice. Senate Minority Whip John Thune of South Dakota surmised Monday that if a bipartisan package does come to fruition, the only remaining ways for Democrats to pay for a second bill on social spending programs are through tax increases, and that's too toxic to pursue. Democrats can pass a spending bill with only Democratic votes, but they need all 50 of their members to be on board. And that means that people like Joe Manchin and other Democrats, Kristen Sinema, will probably not be. So here's an opportunity, strategy, chessboard, chess pieces for Republicans to say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go forward on the roads and bridges piece of this. No environment, no environmental pieces in this. So no solar, no charging, no electric clean energy stuff. We will give you your roads and bridges on a bipartisan basis. It's going to be a lot less than you wanted to spend.
You know what's crazy? You go through and whenever it's like anything that's going to benefit the population, you see all these articles from the big news agencies and stuff, the mainstream media. But anytime it's something that's going to be for war or whatever, you have to find it on third party sites that are trying to bring attention to it. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
Like when it's that kind of spending, yeah, there's no arguing. Talking. Yeah. There's no arguing. There's no like, nope, we don't even need to discuss it. Pass it. $20 billion to the military, $10 billion to Bezos. Done. Okay, next for the people. Okay, let's no.
let's have big discussions on Sunday television shows, on Sunday news shows, on Meet the Press. Go, you know, talk all about it and drive it into the ground so it doesn't happen. Like healthcare, stimulus, all of that. So anyway, you know, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen on stimulus. We're waiting to see where we go with that. Meanwhile, unemployment. This story really chaps my ass. Unemployment benefits running out in 26 states. We brought you this story yesterday, and there's one Democratic state. I think there's 27 states, one Democratic state, 26 Republican states. And you know the argument, right? The argument has been, we need to cut off these $300 in unemployment benefits for the states because it will incentivize people to go look for work, to get back to work, right? Never mind the fact that there are a lot of underlying issues as to why someone can't go back to work, right? We'll get to those in a moment. But the argument has been, we'll shut off those state benefits, right? The federal benefits, and then you will be forced to go look for work and get started back at jobs. Well, guess what? We have data now from May and April that shows that's a bunch of garbage, that has not worked. In fact, it's done the opposite. So anyone arguing this is full of garbage. So here's what happened in the states that said $300 unemployment benefits would end early. Overall, basically, many governors who canceled benefits may not want to see this research because search activity is up in some states that are opting out of federal unemployment insurance benefits for jobs. Like people are going on Indeed.com and other job websites, right, to look. But there are four states that chose, you know, there are four states that chose a draconian cutoff to end benefits on June 12th, which is almost 3 months before the end of the official benefits on September 6th. But look at this. Interestingly, almost overwhelmingly, job search activity didn't go up and, in fact, went down in a number of these areas. This was consistent with search activity in states where ending the $300 benefit on June 19th as well. One would expect that search activity would rise, especially in those states where early benefits are ending, but the Indeed data did not find this. If overly generous federal UI benefits were holding back job seekers, then we would expect search activity to increase relative to the national trend in states where those benefits are ending sooner. But it didn't. In fact, it had the opposite effect. That's pretty crazy. So it implies a small but likely noticeable contribution of expanded UI generosity to defining job rates and employers' perceptions of worker availability in 2021. In other words, ending the $300 benefit appears to be only a small factor in the labor shortage. Small, very small. The question for the 26 governors of states that canceled the $300 benefits early now becomes, what will you do to address the remaining labor shortage? Great question, right? Great question. So if this was the main catalyst and it didn't work, what do you do now? All of these Republican governors, like Kristi Noem of, North Dakota, right? Yeah. South Dakota. Help me out here. North Dakota, South Dakota. I get them mixed up. Kristi Noem, governor, one of Trump's buddies.
I can't remember.
I think it's North, right? Someone in the chat, let me know, Kristi Noem. I think it's North Dakota. But yeah, I mean, her big argument, right? We got to end these unemployment benefits, the
South
federal
Dakota.
$300, because South Dakota. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get them back to work. That's what's keeping them. They're lazy. You are lazy is the argument. You're getting
lazy
these extra
freeloaders.
$300. So who are these people? Who are these people? Well, I got a bunch of emails from you, my viewers, my dear viewers that I love so much. Here's a comment I got on my YouTube, as I read all our YouTube comments, by the way. So yesterday, Bella, I hope you don't mind that I'm sharing this. Bella B said, my friend has four kids. Their school has not gone back to school in person fully yet. She has to stay home to take care of the kids and make sure to help with their schooling. No way can she work full-time doing this, let alone pay for a babysitter. Her small unemployment check is saving their butts right now. And I got this email from Deborah. See, I read my emails. So Deborah sent this last night. Hi, Clayton. I heard today's show talking about losing the federal benefits for unemployment in Republican states. I, unfortunately, live in Texas, where Governor Abbott and his band of smug Republicans has once again decided they'll do whatever they want. As an exclusive proof of this, to do this, he had a letter released. He supposedly received from the CEO of a Texas Association of Businesses. I'm including a link to the news article that includes the letter. It's very suspicious. As this CEO is directing the governor's actions, is this guy in charge? Or did Abbott's team draft the letter? It also gives no information on these, quote, jobs that businesses are unable to fill. No company names, locations, salary, or qualifications. I think Abbott just wants something to point to as his excuse. And if you do the math, the survey they reportedly did of 177 businesses, 70% had several unfilled openings. They just couldn't get filled because of the federal assistance given unemployment. That's BS, Deborah writes. If you consider 70% is 124 businesses and several is maybe seven, that's 868 jobs compared to the approximately 344,000 that will lose the assistance. If these jobs they speak of paid more than the assistance and a minimum benefit payment, people would be applying to the mystery jobs. In my case, the added assistant works out to be $11.25 an hour before taxes, still a poverty wage. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you. And here's what Deborah sent me. Deborah, I hope you're watching right now. So Deborah sent me this. Texas businesses call for Governor Abbott to end federal unemployment benefits. Really? So here's this mysterious letter that he got, right? Dear Governor Abbott, we are, you know, when the pandemic began, Texans came together to respond to the crisis. In that same spirit, we now need to come together to avoid potential economic crisis. Businesses are opening their doors and making good jobs available with competitive pay and benefits. Texans are ready to step up to help their communities, but we need people to return to work. We need you to end these unemployment benefits. Garbage, right?
Was there a little thing at the bottom that said, and we will gladly put this much in your super PAC? Or that must have been a private conversation.
Right, right. We'll gladly donate to you. Hey, remember, we were the ones that already gave you millions of dollars for your campaign. I mean, so again, what if you incentivize people to go back to work with actual, you know, living wages, actually great, you know, I don't know. Give them, if you guys are raking in billions of dollars, these companies are seeing record profits, breaking quarterly earnings like you wouldn't believe. These billionaires like Bezos can literally afford to send himself into space, buy a, you know, $150 million yacht. You're worried about these $300 unemployment benefits.
You know what's funny to me?
Perhaps there's other reasons, you know?
What's funny to me is they try to manipulate the economy so much, but they do it in ways that only favor the rich and don't end up stimulating the economy. Whereas if they could stimulate the people, it would naturally stimulate the economy, and all of these things that they're trying to fix in these idiotic ways would fix itself. It's like so backwards. Right. It seems like common sense to me.
Well, it's like, you know, it's like healthcare, right? I mean, why do we treat it after the fact? Like, what if we had preemptive healthcare, right? We had fresh food for our children's school lunches. you know, organic foods and not processed foods. And I mean,
in France,
we wouldn't have so many health problems later. Exactly. We wouldn't have so many health problems later on. But then, you know why? Because the pharmaceutical industry makes so much money off of treating that. So it's, you know, that's where they make the money. There's very little money in like helping children be healthy at school.
Well, and think
them
of the
fresh food.
Think about this. You, it was so funny. My brother went to school and they were complaining about how hyper the kids were, but they had just given them cookies. It's like, you know, it's like, okay, we're going to give them cookies, but then we give them Adderall to settle them down. Like if you would give them better meals and healthy food, think about how much hyperactivity that itself would solve.
Yeah. How about not giving them soda? Hey, here's an idea. Not give them cans of Coke for lunch. You know, high fructose corn syrup that goes right to spiking your insulin. You know,
and then like, say nap
like
time.
The worst possible thing. Yeah. Like having cereal, right? Cereal for breakfast with sugar. Cereal, which is highly processed and spikes your insulin, right? Then you're hungry 10 minutes later when you get to school, you know? And then having, they have the soda dispensers. What do you call those? The soda machines? Like in the schools, right? In the cafeteria. Like, because, you know, what Coke or whatever, Pepsi pays you millions of dollars so you get these things in your school districts? Go to France. Go to other countries. They don't have that crap there. They don't want to drink that stuff. And then it ruins their day.
No, I saw...
But
I
no, because corporations make too much money.
It was a Michael Bourne documentary. They were showing this French chef American food, and even the kids at these French schools were like, that's not food. Like, they were showing those pizzas that we used to get that had cheese that looked like it was, like, not even colored like cheese. And over there in France, they're getting, like, this chef is preparing, like, desserts, like creme brulee or whatever, and all these really good, fine foods. And it's just, and they're eating on dinnerware, like glass plates, glass cups. And these kids are drinking out of milk cartons and pop cans. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I want to show this to you because I showed this to my kids the other night. We were talking about how well they eat in European countries and other countries compared to the United States, and how because big businesses in the United States run the show. And my kids didn't understand how. I said, well, the reason that you have these crappy school lunches in the United States and you have healthcare ads all over television and you don't have this in other countries is because they make billions of dollars off of this crap.
And let's not forget that even McDonald's, Burger King, and all those that are in other countries can't even put the same ingredients in their food that we can here. It's actually better to eat at fast food restaurants out of this country.
Right. Yeah, it's better. It's fresh. Like you're actually getting fresh ingredients when you go to like a McDonald's in Europe rather than the United States. Like it's okay in the United States for it to be like beef patties to be sprayed with ammonia, you know? So here is, I want you to see this. This is pretty amazing. This is in France. This is their school lunch here. This is what they do in France.
Yes, there was all that, but there was something else we could steal from France. As usual, the French offered little resistance. So I entered a small village in rural Normandy and went to one of the finest kitchens in the country to see how they prepare a gourmet meal. By my standards, it was a 3, maybe a 4-star kitchen. It was definitely the best place to eat in town. It was the school cafeteria.
In school. Would you like to hear my first lesson in French? Papa, mangeons dans un restaurant ce soir? Oui, papa, dis nous un deal.
Excellent today. Me demander à maman d'abord.
Ah non, ne parlez pas de restaurant. Pourquoi pas, maman? Voilà le dîner.
They have a chef.
The French love their cheese, and they eat a lot of it. Chef Moniak had dozens of types of cheese right here in the school refrigerator.
Et c'est lequel le préféré des enfants?
Moi, je dirais le camembert, ils aiment bien.
I showed the kids what I used to do at their age when the lunch lady served us what she called Thursday surprise.
The American way. Didn't take long to get this going.
Mais donc le mardi, une salade de tomates avec de la mozzarella, du jambon à la moutarde, des pâtes et un entremets à la vanille.
Once a month, the school chef gets together with city and school officials and a dietitian to go over the daily menu.
On enlève l'entremets, on met un fromage et puis un fruit.
Why is the mayor's office concerned with what is being served in the school cafeteria?
C'est-à-dire que les enfants doivent apprendre plus tard à bien manger, équilibrer et à faire attention à ce qu'ils mangent.
You see, here in France, lunchtime isn't just 20 minutes where you have to stuff your face as fast as you can. They consider lunch a class, a full hour where you learn how to eat in a civilized manner, enjoy healthy food, and serve each other. And yes, drink water. Lots of water. Water. They don't stand in a long line waiting for a bunch of slop on their plastic or stuff.
So that's the French. I mean, that's crazy.
And that's a documentary called Where to Invade Next, if you guys are wondering, if you haven't seen that.
Yeah, watch the full documentary. It's pretty fascinating because he goes to multiple different European countries and shows like things that we could steal, basically, that the United States could steal from these different countries, like healthcare, university systems, prison reform. He goes to each like different country, but France, he goes and focuses on the food and the school lunches. So really fascinating stuff. We got one more sponsor to tell you about, and then I have a funny story I want to bring to you in a second. But our final sponsor of the show is our friends over at Care Of. Now, Care Of, all of their products are formulated, which is good for you, clean ingredients that are backed by science. Care Of is super transparent about the research and sourcing behind each one of their products. If you use, like, you have something you do every day, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, whether it's taking a different supplement or getting into that habit of doing it, we know from the research it takes about 30 days for you to see the benefits of taking a supplement. So consistency is absolutely key. Care Of makes it easy with personalized subscription service delivered right to your door each month, contact free. So you never have to worry about running out. The Care Of app allows you to track your routine and earn rewards like some really cool swag, discounts, and even free products when you're consistent with taking your vitamins. And all of their products are formulated with good for you, clean ingredients. Really, really great stuff. So here's what you need to do. I want you to check out their holistic online quiz, which is really great. So they have one-on-one consultation. When you go to their website, you get a one-on-one consultation with a nutritionist without leaving your house. You get a personally tailored approach to your unique health needs right there on the screen. You can retake the quiz at any time as your goals and your needs change. And you talk with one of their experts and adjust your pack at any time. It's delivered right to your door. It's fantastic. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go right now to careof.com. It's takecareof.com. There it is on your screen. So you have to put the take in front of it. Okay. Be really clear about that. Takecareof.com and enter the code INVEST50 to get to get 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com and enter code INVEST50. Let me say it again. For 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter INVEST50. We thank them for their support of the show. Really, really good. And the quiz is fascinating. Like, you're going to learn about like a lot of different stuff when you take the quiz about what type of supplements you should be taking for your body and age. It's really interesting. So go check it out and take that online quiz. So have you guys heard this? How many of you guys actually use a wallet anymore?
I do.
So this debate... You use a wallet?
Yes, I use a Tyvek wallet.
A Tyvek wallet.
Yeah, it's made out of paper.
Well, really have to show me it in a second. Charles Barkley lit the internet on fire last night over this wallet debate. And do men still carry a wallet? Here's the clip that caused the debate. Let's watch. This is Charles Barkley.
I lost my wallet today, Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Powles, P-Y-L-E-S, I'm hoping I'm saying his name right, he returned it.
Yeah.
He got in touch with TNT and gave me my wallet back. And that was really awesome. I lost it at Chipotle. Yeah. And I didn't even know it.
You still carry a wallet?
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
Are you like the only person in the world that still carries a wallet?
Yeah. Ernie, why you going to wallet my story?
We use a wallet.
Do you? Chipotle.
Real fat, you know that.
Kenny, do you carry a wallet?
Matt, you're a Georgia Bulldog. Thank you, Georgia Bulldog.
I have a wallet some days, and then some days I just use my.
Shaq, you carry a wallet?
I have a badge, sir.
Okay.
Wait, nobody carries a wallet but me?
Yeah.
So the internet exploded. People are like, what? Who? Charles is like, I'm the only one that carries a wallet? All these guys, all these guys are like, no, we don't. Who carries a wallet anymore? I carry a wallet. Why is this like the weirdest thing? Like, I mean, I carry a wallet. I use one of those like thin ones. Like I have a little thin, it has a little clip and slides off of it. I don't know. How do you get around? Especially in the United States where you don't even have like a lot of good contactless set up yet. Right.
Well, and Apple's getting ready to release so you can carry your ID on your phone. So if once they do that, I probably would be less apt to carry a wallet. But like this is my paper wallet. I can print on it whatever I want. It's like a Tyvek material. And like you cannot rip this thing. And it's really soft and smooth, fits in my pocket. It's got a opening for money and cards. This isn't the actual one I use. I just replaced it, but it's pretty cool.
So it's made of paper, huh?
Tyvek, yeah. Same stuff that goes on the outside of houses. That really like durable paper.
Yeah, and then my wife got me this one.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, with a little monogram thing on it, but it's like a clip, you know, and pops off. And then, you know, so I don't know how you get around. You have to. I wish I could just use my just use Apple Pay. You know,
if you knew it was supported everywhere, because there's like every once in a while I'll take my phone. I'm like, I don't need my wallet, and I'll go inside. Oh, sorry, we don't take Apple Pay. Like, son of a gun.
Yeah, and who doesn't mean, and you know, it's funny, like you go to Canada, they're all contactless, like the subway, the train, everything is all through just using your phone. And now, yes, with the new features from Apple in iOS 15, being able to put your ID in there and passport, they're working with the TSA now to let you just get like, so, but I don't know how you survive. Like, I need that. You need your cards and stuff. I mean, you have to carry this stuff right now. I don't know. But it's so funny to see everyone's like, a bunch of people are like online are like, hey, people don't have wallets anymore for real. Like, where do you put your credit cards, debit cards, insurance cards, work ID, driver's license, cash? Like, what the heck are you doing?
You know why those guys don't? Because their security guard has their stuff. Hey, I need my ID. Here you go, sir.
Exactly. You know, why is acting like carrying a wallet is abnormal? I don't know any guy that doesn't carry a wallet. It must be a rich person thing, Ryan says.
Has to be.
Austin says it has to be. Famous people have drivers, chefs, or chiefs. I think you meant chefs, but chefs. So no need, really. Just like, hey, pay for this. Pay for this for me, Bob. I don't have my money. Not a pro chef. That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Morning Invest. How many of you are new here to the show? If you're new, drop me a comment below. I want to see if I can read them off as quickly as David can throw them up here on the screen. How many newbies do we have here? If you're new, please subscribe to the channel. We do this show every morning live at 9 a.m. Eastern time, covering the news that they won't cover on these other networks over here. You're not going to hear them telling you that the billionaires are about to manipulate the market. Hey, Woxy is new. Me is new.
They're still coming.
Good. All right, come on, fire him up here. I'm going to see if I can keep up with it. Me, Jonathan is new. Woxy is new. Hello, I'm new. Flex is new. Good show today. Thanks, guys. Cheryl Hodge says, great. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Let's see what else we got here. Noob is here. Heywood, nice to see you. Jessica, pretty new. Love the show. Kaden Powell, me, new from Ottawa, Canada. R. Cali newbie, I try to say him. D. Escales, and love this channel. Thank you, DJ. Tony Joslin, I'm not new. You're not new, Tony. You're lying. Me is new. Scott, new from a couple of weeks ago in Illinois. Hi, not new, but I wish I could comment during your show. Deb Morris, Ryan V, first time. Jen, little aloha, new. Great show, new. Get lost over. Brandon Powers, definitely not new. New from Colorado. Brandon Rafferty, good to see you. All the way from Belgium is here. Silvano from Brazil. Good morning from San Bernardino, California. Good show. Watch every morning, Tom says. Ohio here. Shane Brewer. Good to see you. New. Love your show. Great. Thank you, Ray. Ray is here. Kind of new. Super show. Love it. Steve, I'm new and I love this place. Pillbox Gaming. Love that. Tom Fu, not new, but from where? Gerald from Denver is here. Me, greetings from Austria. Jakarta in the house. Minneapolis. Cummings, since February. Keep up the good work, Clayton. Thank you. From Germany, Ohio, Shane Brewer. Whew, okay, good. Can't do it anymore. Tried. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on the old broadcast. Share this with someone in your family, if you'd be so kind. And thanks to all of our new channel members. You can become a channel member for the price of a cup of coffee once a month. You support our show, support everything we do here daily to bring you the news that is important to you, important to us, and not just Wall Street fat cats. So I appreciate you joining us today. Thank you guys so much. Thanks, David. Thanks, everyone. And we'll be back here bright and early at 9 a.m. Eastern time tomorrow morning on Wednesday's show. Grover says thank you. Where is that little dog? Peace out.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.